First of all, I'd like to thank the pastor for allowing me this time. This is something that I feel is needful for me. I thank the Lord so much for all he's done for my wife, my family, and myself in these past weeks and months. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And Nahum 1:7 says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him." Psalm 37, 4 and 5. "Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Can somebody tell me what the common denominator is for all these verses? Trust. And I want to say something about it a little bit later. But for now, I would like to just give you some idea of what it means to go through this kind of a situation. Back in 2013, I think some of you will probably remember that when I'd come to church here, I didn't look the best. I was tired. I was dragging up, even coming up those stairs, one after another, after another, finally got to the top. And it's kind of the way I felt. As the year went on, I started to find it difficult to breathe. I was always short of breath. I couldn't do anything to exert myself because it just would take too much out of me. Long about the end of November, my wife and I usually start to put together a Christmas letter that we send out to friends and family who live far away. And as we always do, we always start out thanking the Lord for the good health we've enjoyed in the past year. And we did that again this year. But we also said that it seemed like a number of folk we knew or knew of were having a lot of health problems. And yet, here I was thanking the Lord for his goodness and for giving us good health. And I thought to myself, you know, maybe it's going to be your turn this year. And little did I know. But I was a little bit prepared for it psychologically. When the time came, I said, "Lord, this isn't what I had in mind." But it was what he had in mind. And if that's the case, well, that's all right. In January of this past year, I started to go through a series of tests trying to find out what my problem was. And I had felt that the way I was feeling, that I thought I must have pneumonia. And clinically, that's kind of the way it looked. And around January the 20th, my doctor ordered a chest x-ray. I hadn't had one done up to this point, and also some blood work. And what was significant about the blood work was that consistently my sodium levels had been low and dropping slowly. And on the evening of the 27th, which was a Monday, my family doctor called me at home. It was about 8:15 in the evening. And she said, "I've been looking over all your test results. I think you need to get to emergency because of the way things were looking. Your blood work shows again consistently low sodium levels, and they're dropping more so. And I'm afraid you may seizure if you don't get to the hospital." So we packed up in about 15 minutes, out the door, and to the Health Sciences Center. As it turns out, there were not many people there that evening, which is a miracle in itself. It seemed like there were always so many people in the emergency room, but I think there were only about four or five people. So this was fairly amazing. And they took more blood from me, and this time the sodium levels had really dropped more. And so there was a definite sign that something drastic was wrong here. In the meantime, I had heard on Friday that the chest X-ray did indeed show fluid on the right lung, but it also showed a mass of some dimension. And so while we were in the emergency room, it was made abundantly clear that this mass was cancerous. And we stayed in the emergency room all night long. The next afternoon, we had heard that there was a room available on 4 North A, which, as the Lord planned it, is the unit where they do a lot of inpatient chemotherapy. And so that evening around 6:30, we were moved upstairs. And as we were getting settled, and realizing that we were in a very difficult situation, we soon came to the end of our own natural resources, that God just had to take over for us because we just had nothing else in ourselves. And as you know, as you remember from this past winter, we were having about, on an average, of 2 to 3 snowstorms every week, it seemed. And while I was in the hospital, they were doing all kinds of tests, and it seemed like I had just gotten back from one test when they were taking me off to another one. But they were trying to really assess what the situation was really all about. And I felt awfully sorry for Sue, because many times when she wasn't staying over with me, she would go home in the night, and it would either be snowing or hard going on the streets. But you know, the Lord was so gracious in all of it that he always had somebody come and shovel out the driveway. I don't know that she ever had to do that in particular, that God was just so gracious to us. And if it wasn't some of the men from the church, it was a neighbor, somebody that cared enough to make sure that drive was shoveled. And this was such a blessing to myself, because it was all very extremely hard on her. And as we As we sat in the room, day by day, especially in the evenings, but sometimes even in the early morning, the Lord brought so many precious truths out of His Word to our hearts, things that we took a long, hard second look at and realized even more and more how much they applied to us. And then we started to think of our own reactions. And I guess the best term to describe how we felt was overwhelmed. Because everything just started coming at us, and this was all uncharted waters for us. And we were trying to trust in the Lord, but at the same time trying to process all of what was happening to us. Everything new, everything different, everything strange. The normal for us in our lives had disappeared. Now we were in this very unusual situation. But the Lord said, you know, you can trust me. I know what I'm doing, and I will take care of you. Did we feel sometimes very helpless? Yeah, we did. Were there tears? Yeah, there were tears from time to time. And often when we would think about scripture verses that had such meaning to us, and it would just bring tears to our eyes, and through it the Lord just helped us to deal with what we were facing. And we had decided the only way to deal with this situation is one step at a time. Just take one step at a time. Don't try to see too far ahead. Just take it one step at a time. And then folks started praying for us. And we started to have visits. Pastor would often come during the day. And this was a great support and help to us. But he said, you know, it would be a good idea if you started thinking about what you want to have done at your funeral. But, well, maybe it's not such a bad thing. Excuse me. And then Dr. Harper, he would stop in at times and he would say, have you got your will in order? Excuse me. And so that was an incentive for us to get that taken care of. So we also started to receive cards, emails, prayer support. There were even times when I would have late night visits after visiting hours were over. And do you remember those times, Andy? He often used to come in after 10, but that was all right. It was very encouraging. But the prayer support we found just absolutely amazing. What started out to be dozens and scores of people soon grew into hundreds. And I think even eventually into four figures. There were people praying for us. I didn't even know who they were. But we had ladies' groups praying in some southern state. I had never been there, but they were praying for us anyway. Kristen told us when she came back that she had her dorm girls praying for us. And all of these things were such an encouragement to us. And it was just such a joy. And in our dealings with the doctors, it was very easy to see that God was not in the equation in their minds. And so we had to go along with this. But we knew that God had definitely started to work in this situation and in our lives by that time. Around February the 4th, we had a conference with the oncologists. They said, you have a small cell cancer. It's in your right lung. The only option for treatment for you, as we see it, is chemotherapy. And I had heard some pretty dreadful things about the effects of chemotherapy on various people. The other option, he said, was to do nothing, but he said you'll be gone in 6 to 8 weeks. So he didn't give us a lot of choice. My wife said, I think you would have been gone in 2 weeks. You were that sick. Which I did not realize at the time. So God seemed to be pointing in the direction of the chemotherapy, because it seemed like the only option at the time. And so we started it while I was there in the hospital. But you know, I haven't said this to hardly anybody, but while in the hospital in those early days, I started to think about heaven. And my thoughts went strangely upward, heavenward, in my mind. And I thought of that hymn where the chorus ends, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And you know, that was starting to happen. The things of earth were starting already to fade, because I kept thinking thoughts like, well, I don't suppose I'll be around for that event. Or I suppose I won't be here for this. And it was just so curious how things of earth were indeed starting to fade. And when I started the chemotherapy and all of a sudden started to feel strangely much better, I thought of this heavenward vision, and it all kind of started to fade into the background, like the Lord was saying, not yet, not yet. And I must say, I was disappointed. Because I thought, maybe it might be time to go. But no, the Lord had other plans. And I started to really feel quite good once the chemotherapy started. And we had prayed that I would have no serious side effects from it. And the Lord answered that prayer consistently through the entire series of treatments. No pain, no problems in the gut. The only thing was, out came the hair. It didn't take long to go, but it's taken longer to come back. But the Lord just has been so good through it all. And I started to think one day, Lord, why me? Why are you? Why am I so favored when there are so many others, you know, better people than I am, that are suffering, are going through difficult times? And the answer came back to me very pointedly and very directly. I am the Lord your God. I am sovereign. I need to be sovereign in your life. I am the potter, you are the clay. I will make of my children according to my will and according to my good pleasure. And it was almost as if it was added, and don't mention this again. And I haven't, because I know this was God's plan for me. And I was just thinking around that time that, you know, one of the reasons that this cancer came my way is that I still had some lessons to learn. And this was a sure way to get me thinking about what was needed. Some lessons I had made some gains on through preaching and through private Bible study. But I think the Lord felt I wasn't making enough gains. And the Lord got my attention with the cancer. And I started to make much greater gains. And I am just really thankful that I have had a chance to learn more of these valuable lessons that have helped me to help others. And I began to realize that people in the church here and other places were being encouraged by our response to what has happened in this whole series of events. And this was an encouragement to us. Then I started to say, well, you know, the Lord has blessed you. Now you need to be thinking about others. You need to turn your attention to other folk who are having a difficult time. You need to start praying for them. And I was made aware of some needs in the lives of others. And I thank the Lord that as the treatments continued, I was still pretty much free of the side effects. I think the only time I had something going on was one of the Friday nights that I was in Clarenville. I had to be down the whole evening because of nausea. And this is one of the major side effects. And it just was in waves the whole evening, and I just couldn't get up, I couldn't stand up, I couldn't walk, I couldn't do anything. I just had to lie flat. But that was the only time. The next day came, I felt fine. So if that's all I had to go through, thanks be to the Lord. So I continued on with the chemo treatments, which ended about mid-June. The doctor wanted me to have a CAT scan done at the midpoint in the treatment, which I think you all heard the results of, that the cancer had shrunk to about 98% of the original size. So now it was time for an end of the chemo CAT scan, which I had only a week ago this past Friday. I got the report on it just this past Friday morning. The tumor is still there, but very, very, very tiny. And his plan is just to have me just to carry on through the summer and to have another CAT scan done the first week in September. And probably the tumor will remain, but whether it will grow back to any size, I have no way of knowing. So, where do we go from here? Only the Lord really knows the answer to that question. We will just simply trust Him. I think there was a little disappointment with us that given the results of the mid-treatment CAT scan, where it had so markedly reduced, I was a little surprised that it wasn't gone entirely. But I think there might have been a real purpose in that, because if it was gone, I might have gotten just comfortable with the idea that maybe we didn't have to pray so diligently. But the fact that it's still there, even in just a tiny little bit, just is enough to remind us that, yes, this is another opportunity for God to work. And so we are trusting Him just like we've trusted Him all along. One thing we have learned in this entire series of events is complete and implicit trust that God knows what He's doing with our lives. He is completely trustworthy. It seems that it's easier somehow to trust Him when we get saved. We trust Him with our eternal destiny. And yet, a day-by-day trust is a lot harder to come by, because it's a constant day-by-day, moment-by-moment thing. And we came to the place where we could do nothing else but just trust our lives into the hands of our God. And we praise Him for everything He's done for us. If you take nothing else from these words tonight, I pray that each one of us might look into our own lives and examine our trust quotient. Where are we in terms of our continued trust in the Lord of glory, who can change things in our lives, who has the right to make of us what He pleases? And yet we hold back. We hold back. And we don't really commit our way unto Him. As the verse in Psalms says, trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. I don't think there's a day that goes by, excuse me, when I don't think of Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Because that verse says, thou wilt keep him. Not just a momentary thing, but a continuous keeping in our lives. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. Then the next verse is equally as strong. Trust ye in the Lord Jehovah, or trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That's where we can draw the power, the energy, the strength we need to live day by day for him. As I bring this to a close, I just pray that you, each one, will grow to see your trust increased in the Lord. And as you live for him, recognize that if you commit everything into his hand, he will bring everything to pass in your life according to the way he would like to have it. And I just praise him, and I know my wife feels the same way, that we are just rejoicing in everything God has done for us. We are rejoicing in his goodness every day. Every day is a blessing, and it's a little miracle in itself that he has given us, and we don't take any day for granted. But we try to be aware of all of what God has done for us. We try to praise him, we try to thank him, and we try to trust him. And with that combination, he will lead us in the way he wants us to go. Can we close in a word of prayer? Our Father, we thank you for all you have done in our own personal lives. We thank you for your goodness, for your love, and for your mercy, of which we are not worthy, as we are unprofitable servants. And yet you desire to bring us through these things as we have come through them. And we just can't thank you enough. And as we rejoice in these things, we ask that you would help us, that our testimony might be clear before others, that it will be a means of seeing others come to know the Christ we know, who lives within our hearts. And we thank you and praise you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.